Hello and welcome to the Tent Makers Podcast. We're so thankful that you're with us. We pray that this episode is a blessing and a resource as you walk out your call into the business and marketplace that God has placed you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. God bless. All right, welcome back, fellow tent makers. Never said that before, but you are. You're a tent maker. So thank you for listening today. It's me, John. I'm here with my good friend and wonderful entrepreneur and just a creative mind, Chris Riley. Chris does a lot. He does a lot. And because I know he'll try to minimize as much as he does for the kingdom and not want to puff himself up, I'm going to do my best to introduce him. He's a musician, worship leader. He is a entrepreneur, a creative. Right now he's got a sawmill business. So actually I'm very jealous of that, Chris, your sawmill business. Recently he just sold a coffee shop in the county next door to us. But Chris just has it going on, so I thought it'd be great to have Chris with us today. Chris, how's it going?
It's going good. I don't know. I just feel like laughing right now. So
just let it out.
Yeah.
Just let it out.
It's going good, man. Thanks good. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yeah. It's hard to do interview for sure because like, do we make eye contact? Do we not make eye contact?
I didn't want to make you laugh all the way to the end of that, so I didn't make eye contact.
Who are we actually talking to until this goes live? There's so many like little variables you don't think about.
Yes.
When you're doing interview until you do it, and then you're like, well, this is kind of awkward. Like, this is a little
hard.
Well,
let's just not let it be awkward.
All right.
We're talking to each other.
All right. Right now, on the count of three, we're going to make sure that the rest of this is not awkward.
Yes.
One, two, three.
Done.
I feel it. Okay. Anyways, so yeah, introduce yourself, Chris.
My name's Chris. I have been a worship leader and a business, I guess entrepreneur. Nowadays, I think kids graduate college and they put entrepreneur on a business card. So I try not to use that word. Yeah. But I guess that's just the truth. So I started my first business when I was 15, and I started leading worship around the same time. And yeah, somehow God has always kept me involved in business.
Wow. 15 years old, first business. Could you just like give us a quick like, what was that? What happened at 15 that you did that was your first business?
So I started my little photography company when I was 15, which ended up being what I've done the far majority of my career in between other business pursuits. But I started a photography company at 15, had to get my parents to drive me to shoot weddings. It was awesome. And yeah, so it just kind of, I guess, started like a little self-employed setup.
So you must have been pretty successful at it, or at least good enough to give people the confidence to pay a teenager to photograph like one of the most important days of their life. So it wasn't just like a hobby. It was an actual business where you made money and had income and clients and so on and so forth.
Yeah. My mom was in business, and through growing up with her doing business, for whatever reason as a kid, I never really doubted the possibility of just starting something and doing it, because to me that's kind of what she did.
Wow.
I didn't necessarily have perspective. Well, I did. So my dad and my stepdad both had jobs, and so I guess I had a mix of both. But to me, I don't know, I just always knew that I wanted to start something and make something happen.
So it's sort of a generational thing for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And actually, I didn't realize this until, I don't know, a few years back, but everyone on my mom's side of our family, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, like everyone on my mom's side of the family all have their own businesses.
Wow.
And I never realized that until way into adulthood.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. So then let me ask you this. Is there, like, obviously there's a generational blessing in your family to be forerunners, to just start something new. Is that coupled with like a God-given desire to see something be birthed out of you that wasn't there previously? Or what does that look like? Do you just have like this expectation on you that I'm going to start a business, or is it start from like this, just this fire in your bones where I need to be part of something new and creative and fresh?
Yeah, 100% now that's what it is. Like, in fact, what I do in every company that I get involved in and on any level is like, I'm kind of the brand building person. Mm-hmm. So like, I love the build phase of a business. Mm-hmm. And then once we get down to day-to-day operations, I'm often kind of like, I have to really force myself to be super excited about every day.
Yeah.
But in the build phase, honestly, on a profitability yeah. is like a terrible phase to be good at, because, you know, the build mm-hmm. phase is when there's no money coming in mm-hmm. and you're kind of pushing everything in and hustling.
You're bootstrapping.
Yeah, but that's what I love. Like, mm-hmm. I love creating something from nothing. And it took me a long time to realize it's no different than when I write a song. Is like, building a business is like a very long process of songwriting. Mm-hmm. It's making something that wasn't there before.
So yeah, that's kind of important to identify, because I know this about you, but not everybody else listening knows this about you. You're not really as much as excited about the day-to-day operation of business as you are the birthing of it, the like, let's go make something new aspect.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'd imagine that there was a process and sort of a journey for you to discover that. Because you don't just, could you speak to that a little bit? Sort of that process of realizing, like, you know, I'm not maybe the greatest at the day-to-day operations, or even just even swallowing that pill and realizing that about yourself. And then also identifying that where you have weaknesses, you also have some amazing strengths too. What does that look like?
Yeah, 100%. I think I've learned it from each business. Like, I've learned, I mean, obviously every time you get involved in anything, you learn from it. But like, I've very purposefully tried to learn from every business that I've been a part of, which, like, oh, I was really not good at this.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, I really excelled in this. And yeah. For me, the goal now is to kind of stay in my green zone. And there's stuff that you have to just do day to day, no matter what. Like, yeah. Picking up logs at the sawmill, I don't feel creative at all. Yeah. And I'm not like with people or whatever, but yeah. You know, it's just got to get done. So right. There's elements, I think you just have to eat it. You can't always be in your favorite thing every day.
Yes.
But the goal is to be more and more where you feel like you thrive. So I learned, and we can go, I guess, through the different businesses if you want, however you want to do that. But
sure, give us a few points, like a few.
So where I really learned that I do not like day-to-day operations was both in the coffee shop and then also a restaurant that I took over for just shy of 6 months.
Yeah.
And I loved the building part and I loved the people.
Yeah.
But like, when it came down to just running like budgets and, mm-hmm. you know, like ordering and inventory and all those kind of things, I thought just no one liked that until I made friends with people and found people in business that thrive at spreadsheets. And yeah. I was like, where does this come from? I can't even fathom it. But I realized very quickly that like, day-to-day management's not my favorite.
Yeah.
It's usually my push-through point in a business.
Yeah. But going through the day-to-day management sort of revealed to you the anointing and the grace you have for the startup phase. So totally. Almost in a sense, and not to, well, yeah, you found your anointing and your success inside of failure, just grinding it out, not maybe failure, but in the places where you didn't feel the most comfortable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. That's really interesting. And then also in that, would you say that not only did you find your sweet spot, your niche, but the Lord also gave you vision for the importance of building community around you with people who are different and maybe operate in different skill sets than you.
100%. So actually the company that I'm in right now is the first company that I've ever had partners in,
uh-huh.
aside from my wife, which to me, you know, we're both,
right.
we're two sides of a coin.
Two or one.
We've had, you know, obviously we've had the partnership agreement and disagreement in our businesses, but you know, we do everything together, so
yeah.
it's a little different. This is the first company that I've had partners that weren't Jess.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it's actually really cool. My partner right now, which my partners are a really good friend of mine named Chris, and my mom is also involved in this company. But with Chris, months before we started the business, I had said, hey man, if we ever come up with a business idea together, I think we could do really well together, because we are total opposite personalities
yeah.
and total opposite skill sets, but we get along really well.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, that's been probably the biggest strength so far in this company, which is we both see things totally different, but we also will both, like, hand it over to the other person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really see that, but I trust you.
Yeah.
And so far, it's worked out really well because of that.
Man, and that's real unity, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's, like, I mean, like, you can call unity everyone being the same, but that's not really unity. That's
not a bit.
Conformity.
Yeah. It's actually dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. So that's so, there's so much wisdom there, because as a business owner and a business leader, I think you have to sort of learn how to recognize some of the places in your skill set that you're not very strong at, and then have the humility to hand those over to people who are strong in those places. And then that creates a unity in the Lord, but also a grace for your business, I think, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Before, you know, I would try to do everything,
yeah,
and it would slow things down a lot, because I'm really not good at a few things.
Yeah. Did you find, for myself, like, I find in those places, like, when I try to do everything, I do a lot of things halfway.
Yes.
And nothing right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, like, wears you down.
Yeah. You just burn out.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, from what I've seen, is another thing you're really good at is, like, creating family and community in your business. And I've been in your coffee shop that you previously sold, and you've got people coming in and out, like a normal coffee shop. People come in, they place an order, they leave, you never see them again. But then you also have, like, a dozen people who are just hanging out and enjoying each other. And the time that I was there was just one time. Those people hanging out were all different. None of them were, none of them conformed to the other. They all had their own opinion. And I mean, they were talking about their own opinions, so I heard them. They all had their own opinions. They all had their own styles. They all had their own, like, outlook on the world.
Yep.
But they just fit together.
Yep. Our sort of mission, and it's on the wall at Campfire Coffee, which was the coffee shop, is come for the coffee, stay for community. And we wanted it super clear that the whole purpose of putting this in the town wasn't to just have a business. It was to bring people together and give them the space to be together. And honestly, like, it took us a while to explain to a lot of our friends the mission behind the company. When we went to open it, we felt very clearly that the Lord had called it to be a neutral space. Mm-hmm. And so we actually, like, I mean, Christian coffee shops are amazing. The heart of who we are, like, we bleed Jesus, I hope, you know, in everything that we do. Mm-hmm. But we very purposefully didn't do, like, the prayer board and have the Ithacus fish on the window.
Which is great if you do that.
Yeah,
but
it's totally cool. in fact, I think everyone's called to do what they're called to do.
Right.
You know, and with
wait a second, pause. Can you just say that one more time slower? Everyone
is called to do what you're called to do. And I would even say that seasonally.
Yes.
I had a lady who had come to the shop, just kind of a side note for a second. I had a lady who had come to the coffee shop, and she asked us to put a sticker on the window that represented something that is one of the most important things to me. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let me really consider this and pray about it. Mm-hmm. And I ultimately said, I absolutely love what you're doing. I want to back it in any way I can. And this is where I'm going to get in, like, dangerous territory. It would not, hopefully not offend anyone. But I said, but I feel like the Lord has called us to keep this neutral.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, what do you mean? Don't you care about this? I said, more than you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Like, it means so much to me. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if I shout at someone before they walk in the door, I don't get to talk to them when they do.
Come on.
And so what I was afraid of was having the person who had experienced this thing be like, oh, they'll never accept me here. I'm not going inside.
Come on. Yeah.
And so I evidently, like, my conviction in that moment was strong enough that she was like, should I not be doing this? And I was like, no, you have to be doing this, because it's what you're called to do in this season.
Right.
And, like, I said, you have no idea how much I've publicly, and still publicly, in all of whatever public means on my social media and friendships, will still stand for this issue.
Yeah.
I just believe if I put it on the window of the business right now,
it's
going to hinder me from being able to actually be in that person's life.
Yeah.
And that's a very specific call, for the record. I don't think that's necessarily for everyone at all times.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. Okay, there's a couple things I wanted to poke at there. One, you have to be willing to understand that your business is a testimony for Jesus.
Yes.
Right? It's a place where people can encounter the kingdom, right? So you have to be confident in that. And then number two, you have to believe that you're called to this. Yeah. And that in that calling, there's a way that the Lord is calling you to reach the people around you, and being confident in that, so that when a situation like that comes up in your insecurity, you don't cave to something you're not called to.
Yes.
Which can be hard sometimes, because you take on criticism of people who don't agree with you. You take on people with different points of views. But you understand that your business is more than just a place for money to be produced. It's actually a spiritual covering for people to find the Lord.
100%.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the coolest scenarios to give testimony to that, it would be we had, like, the day we opened, there was a guy who came in and just had a good time chatting with him and whatever. And he came back, you know, a good handful of times later. And one day he said to me, because there actually was like a Christian-owned coffee shop in that same space many years before, and he'd been in the town all these years. And he basically said, you know, I told myself if you said God bless you when I left here, I'd never come back.
Whoa.
No lie. And now this guy is like one of my best friends, and I get to be in his life every day, and, and we do life together.
Wow.
And so it's just cool, like, so many, and to be honest, a lot of the regular people who came in our shop are definitely not in the same faith journey that we are, or at least, you know, don't see things the way we do. And it, to me, is kind of the beauty of a space like that.
Yeah.
And like, church is amazing, and Christian community is amazing, but if we never... You know, like, it's funny, the church I grew up at, we would always say, you got to get out of the four walls. And then if you weren't there on a Sunday because you were with other people to, like, reach them, they're like, hey, why weren't you in the four walls? You know? Yeah. So you have to kind of know, like, there's a time that you reach people where they're at.
By the way, I didn't see you this Sunday at church.
Yeah, that was, my son was not feeling too good.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's man, that's so, so beautiful. Because I know your heart. I know that. You're all in, that you desire to preach the gospel, that you're building the kingdom, but you're doing it in a way, and some people will take this the wrong way and become offended. You're doing it in a way that's palatable to people who have maybe been turned off to the church.
100%.
And the palatability, I don't even know if that's the word, but in that place of being palatable, it's not that you're compromising on your faith.
Yep.
You're just actually... presenting yourself in a way where you can have an authentic relationship with somebody to actually display Jesus to them in a way maybe they've never received him before.
Yep.
But in that same breath, the person who's doing the coffee shop with the prayer board, with the Ithacus fist.
Awesome.
That's amazing. Don't stop doing that. Don't feel condemned. You just have to, what did you say? You have to know what you're called to.
I don't remember. Do what you're... I don't know what I said.
Something to confirm what we're talking about. I think it was you have to do what you're called to do when you're called to do it, or something like that.
Something like that.
And just be confident in it. You don't have to be like somebody else in the way you do things. You just have to be obedient to what God has called you to.
And for the record, like the company that we have now, my partner and I were talking about, like, hey, maybe we should put these scriptures up on the wall. And I was like, dude, let's do it. Like, because it's just, it's a different... In order, like, I felt like we were called to put a coffee shop in our town that was a neutral space to be able to make a place for especially the kind of outcasted from churches. Because, to be honest, we live in the Bible Belt,
right?
Which I'm not originally from this area, so I hadn't quite experienced, like, I think in around Jamestown, we have 67 churches.
Yeah, and, I believe it.
I mean, and a very small amount of people.
In Overton County, you want to take a guess at how many churches there are? I'll give you an exact number. Just guess.
142.
That was actually good. That was a good guess.
I mean, God speaks to me. No, I'm just kidding.
120. Okay. So 120 churches in a county of 10,000 people.
Which, for the record, is awesome.
It is, yes.
I only bring that up to say that there are people that if a church was going to get to them, it would have.
Right.
That have grown up around 67 or 120 churches. So sometimes in order to reach people, you to, you know, take to the streets.
So that is really good. If you're listening right now and you're like, you feel pressure about what you're not doing, I just kind of, I want the Holy Spirit to be able to minister to you to lift that right now.
Yep.
And that you can be secure and confident as a son or daughter in what you are doing because you feel called to do it. Now, maybe you don't know if you are called or not, and that's a different wrestle, but I just want to lift any undue pressure off of you. Okay. All right. Good. In Jesus' name. Now, there's so much there that I want to unpack. Now, the benefit to the community, we covered that. Like, you're reaching people through your business in a way that traditional church can't. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to say can't.
That hasn't
reached. Yeah, it's people. Just a different leg.
Different leg.
Leg of the kingdom.
So good. Okay. But at the same time, how do you think that impacts the people you employ, right? That because whether the people that you employ admit it or not, you are a leader to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're an influence to them. And you're a source of provision. And you're sort of, for lack of a, well, maybe this is the best way to put it, you're a spiritual father to them. Or if you're a woman that's leading your business, you're a mother, spiritual mother. And sometimes, as employers, we can put pressure on our employees to be someone different than who they are.
Yeah.
And that sort of, could you speak into that? I don't want to go too far.
So for me, and I'm still young in business, I've had three companies that have had employees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm still learning how to do it. Like, mm-hmm. so many people will say, don't hire friends. You need to hire people that you're not friends with. That's not worked out well for me. I've actually done better.
Wait, so you've done better hiring friends?
So far.
Okay.
But I was literally just with a friend of mine who owns a lot of businesses before this conversation.
Yeah.
And he just reminded me that works great on a small scale. When you get to a big scale, that gets really messy.
Yeah.
So that's been my experience. I definitely am not saying that should be a model for anyone. But to say...
Just pause. I love that.
Pause.
Because I just heard somebody the other day say, never hire friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like the big thing everyone says. But the thing is, when I walked into the restaurant, I had 20 employees when I walked in, mm-hmm. and it was a mess.
Yes.
And whenever I added a couple people that I knew their heart and their character, it changed the whole company.
Man, again, there's so much here that's happening. There is just so much freedom when you're walking in relationship with God in regard to how you should run your business.
Yes.
Yeah. If you just are confident, don't hire friends, do hire friends. Don't hire family, do hire family.
Pray about it.
Ask the Lord.
Ask the Lord.
Let him lead you.
100%.
All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. You were talking about the impact of you as a business owner that is not putting pressure on their employees.
Yeah. So we never... I really want to talk about what you just said, though. But
all right, let's go to that later. Come on, wait. So we're talking about how just hearing from the Lord.
Yeah. So it's the same thing of like, do what you're called to do when you're called to do it.
Yeah.
It's the same concept. Like, hire who you're supposed to hire when you're supposed to hire them.
Right.
And that puts a lot of dependency on hearing the voice of God, but we should be anyways. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's been times. I mean, right now I'm in a situation where there is a piece of property that we want to purchase, and this is another side note. I apologize. I had
That's
coffee.
Okay.
There's a piece of property that we want to purchase, and if we had purchased it when we first thought of the idea instead of being patient
mm-hmm.
and waiting on feeling the Holy Spirit lead us to actually take the step,
mm-hmm.
the difference in cost of the purchase was, I mean, like a third of the cost dropped.
Wow.
Just because the owner had time to think about the space. It's the craziest thing.
And the market has gone straight up since.
The market's gone up and the price went down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like our price went down.
Whoa.
So just all that to say, same thing, I mean, with hiring people, like, Father, do we really need another person right now?
Yeah.
And if we do, can
Come
you bring
on.
Them through? So
Come on.
I've also never had success with people dropping off resumes.
Yeah.
It just hasn't worked. Everyone that I've hired... has been someone who, one, came to the business
uh-huh.
that I, like the coffee shop, I only would hire people that came in the shop regularly and already
uh-huh.
had bought into the whole concept of what we did.
Yeah.
They were there for community.
Yeah.
They were there to encourage conversations.
Mm-hmm.
They were there. I could tell that they had the heart that would add to the atmosphere.
Yes.
And because I knew who they were, I mean, in fact, most of the people I hired, I never saw a resume from them.
Yeah.
I got to know them over the course of a year. And yeah. I was like, hey, do you want a job? And they're like, oh my gosh, I would love to work here. I didn't even know you were hiring. Yeah, I wasn't.
That's awesome. Yeah. That I've kind of live in the same vein where, like, I don't really want to go out and look for employees because that's such a grind. And it's the interview process is...
How do you know someone in an hour of meeting them? I'm sure there's people who are good at but...
Well, in the interview process, that's the fakest moment of that person's life.
They're
saying everything you want to hear. And God bless you if you just are in the middle of this. I'm not trying to persuade you one way or the other. But I've found better success in just bringing my need to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I don't even know if I need an employee in this regard. I don't even know what I need. I just know that there is something that needs addressed right now.
Yep.
You see it. And would you help me to be sensitive to the moment when you begin to intercede into it so that I can join you? Because I don't want to do anything that's not of you. I don't want to concoct anything on my own. I just want to join you with what you're doing through me and what you've given me to steward.
Yep.
And I don't do that actually perfectly, almost ever.
Nope.
But the times that I do it, the times that I do partner with him, seem to be a lot more fruitful than the times that I don't. And the whole, like, have you, and maybe I'm speaking to something you don't do, but have you ever felt that, like, you're trying to put pressure on someone to be someone they're not ever going to be?
That's what we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
Maybe I have in the past. It's definitely not something that I try to do consistently. Yeah. If I have, it was definitely a mistake.
Right.
For the most part, especially at the coffee shop, I mean, to be honest, there were situations in business where I was like, I need to inspire you to not be lazy. So in that sense...
Yeah, that's a given.
Yeah, okay. in that sense, yes, I'm definitely pushing them to do something different than what they want
to
do.
I need to reveal
to
you.
Or I need to, like, push you that you should smile. Like, yes. Smiling is a great resource. But yeah, no, as far as like at the coffee shop, for instance, I was extremely open about who I am in my faith,
mm-hmm.
and my love for Jesus, mm-hmm. and people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my staff would know that to a T.
Yeah.
And my goal has always to be as consistent as possible. I want to be the same person at home as I am, mm-hmm. at work, as I am at church, mm-hmm. as I am, mm-hmm. whatever, out
That's
for
so
a run with the guys, like whatever that looks like. My goal is to be the same person. So my hope is, and I think it's been true, that like my staff knew my character, my family knows my character, and you know, we're not perfect, but like they know the heart. And so for the most part, the people that I would hire would have already known like the heart of what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
and I would either see some of that in them or not. Now, all that to say, like, not everyone on my staff are like hardcore, mm-hmm. Jesus followers.
Right.
You know, and that's a whole other thing we could talk about.
Yeah.
Is hiring people that maybe don't share the same faith.
Well, that's actually kind of where I was pushing you a little bit. Is sometimes we fall into this trap of hiring people not because the Lord has brought them there or because that's who the Lord has brought to be the employee, but because we want them to be something different than who they are. Or and again, I want to be careful because I want the Lord to be honored in everything I do, and I want everyone to know Jesus. And I am an evangelist, you know, like I love knocking on doors and sharing the gospel. That's who I am. But at the same time, I found that if you'll only hire people like you, you miss out on a lot of opportunity.
Yep.
And you actually crush people because you put pressure on them to be like you instead of giving them space to see Jesus in you, receive him, and then let Jesus be Jesus in them the way they are.
Yep.
And I think that you do that well because, again, being in your coffee shop, I didn't feel like there was a pressure from you for the employees to be like who you were. They just could be who they were. And that's kind of cool. It's family.
Yeah.
It's family.
I think like there would be some guidelines, and usually I wouldn't even necessarily put them out there unless they came up.
Right.
I mean, there were some that were just clear, but things like what music was played in the shop, that was really important to me.
Yeah.
And to be totally honest, it was important to me that one, it either uplifted the Lord or wasn't too much nonstop Christian music for the setting that we wanted. So having jazz on or like folk instrumentals or there was a certain atmosphere.
But nothing
that I
degrading or like.
I didn't want profanity.
Banging hardcore gangster rap.
No, definitely not. In fact, whenever we do open mic nights, they'd have to like sign up under a thing that said like no profanity, no cursing. Like, no, that was super important to me that the atmosphere was quote unquote clean.
So would you say that you had boundaries without pressure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like...
Yes, have to, right?
There's not going to... Like, I'm not going to let there be music that's just terrible in the shop or conversation.
You have to have boundaries.
Yes.
You don't have to put pressure on people.
Right.
You can let the boundaries do the work of sorting things out.
Yep.
Right? And really, what's necessary for that to work well, again, goes back to you just being confident in who God says you are and what you're called to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you're not, your insecurity will just drown everybody. Just,
Oh, and it shows up.
It shows up.
I mean, you have times where you're like, man, why am I so worried about this? You know?
Yes.
And I still, like,
yeah.
I could probably give the caveat 100 times in this conversation that, you know, I'm still young in business. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
Yeah.
And some of what we're talking about, even, like, I've had 24 employees at once, and that drove me nuts. Like, it was a lot for me at the time. Now,
that's a lot.
10 years down the road, that may not be a big deal, but
when
I jumped from having the coffee shop and I added the restaurant, I went from 4 to 24.
It's insane.
And that was a huge jump for me.
Yeah.
But I say that to say there's probably people, I'm sure, listening to our conversation right now who have 150 employees, and they're like, oh, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Man,
and I probably don't. This has just been my experience so far on a smaller scale.
Yeah, I think you're right in what you're saying, but I also think there's a lifting, a burden that's being lifted right now. Because you can strive yourself to 150 employees and be very successful and be very good at what you do, but you also can be 150 employees and be exhausted and miserable and thinking, why is nothing in life clicking for me? And all the success isn't doing anything for you.
Yeah.
So understanding that simple proverb that from the book of Chris there, knowing what you're called to and doing what you're called to do, really is so important. Because there's really nothing good that can come from your insecurity putting pressure on people.
Yeah.
Spiritually speaking, again. You can strive your way to the top. Plenty of people do that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about building businesses that build the kingdom.
Yep.
And preach the gospel. Even if you're not out there with your cardboard sign that says repent now. Your business is still preaching the gospel because of the confidence you walk in the Lord.
I'm laughing because we, in our town, there would be someone who would stand on the side of the road and do the, like, extreme judgment thing. Not necessarily just, like, hey, Jesus is coming.
Like the Westboro Baptist
store. Yeah, and that stuff just makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
And the cool thing would be people would walk in and be like, can you believe that guy? And I'm like, yeah, it probably doesn't really look good, but, like, that's not who Jesus is. And it often would open conversations.
Right.
You know, because you could hear him through the window of the shop down the street yelling. But it would open really good conversations for people to literally be like, well, I know you really well. Do you believe that? And I'm like, I don't believe quite the way that guy does, but here's who Jesus is.
Yes.
And this is really the Jesus that I've known.
Yeah.
So even... Yeah, that was just funny because it made me...
That's so good. And again, you're not minimizing the gospel. You're not compromising what you believe. You're just allowing Jesus to be God.
Yeah.
And for him to be God in you and through you. Because I know there are... And I just want to dance around it carefully because I know there's going to be people who are thinking, well, he's just not doing enough. Because they feel like they're not doing them enough themselves.
Hmm.
And you always accuse people based on the accusation you feel over yourself.
Hmm.
There are people who are called to hold a sign out to preach the gospel. Let them do it. And I bless them. What is important is not if you're holding the sign or not holding the sign. What's important is knowing what you're called to do.
100%. And when you're called to do it.
And just, yeah, come on. And just going for it. And just going for it. Man, that's so good.
So I'll add this to this part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my friend about this earlier today.
Yeah.
I have tried to leave, like, quote unquote, the business world multiple times in my life to be in, like, what we would call full-time ministry. Like, I've had there has been seasons in my life where, you know, we got a 55-seat tour bus and we were going to get to tour the country and lead worship. And I was like, great, put my photography business aside. And I've done this multiple times. That was the one time I really, like, stopped all business. And I went to a ministry school. And and then the whole thing kind of fell apart. And we can talk about that another time. But that not being the point of it, more so, like, every time I've been like, God, can I just go and write songs and lead worship full time? Like, this is my heart, and just go love on people. And he has just always kept me tethered to doing some kind of business.
That's cool.
The crazy thing about it is, like, since moving here, we moved to Jamestown 7 years ago this summer and led worship a lot in the community, different churches, one church for a long time. I can honestly say I've seen far greater impact in what we did through the coffee shop and what we've done in business for the kingdom and in our community as a whole. I mean, governmentally, businesses started out of that coffee. Like, I could go through long, long lists of what the Lord did through the coffee shop. Now, I'm not negating what happened spiritually in people's lives while we did worship and everything else at all.
Yeah.
But as far as us making an impact, because my whole thing was like, Lord, how do we make a difference here?
Yeah.
How do we make a difference here?
Yeah.
And he called us to open the shop. And the impact was surreal.
Yes.
Compared to had I never done that and just stayed where I just felt like I wanted to be.
That's right. Gosh, that's so good. Okay, pivoting quickly.
Go for it.
I just felt the Holy Spirit on this. And I think you might have some insight. A lot of people struggle with the risk aspect of what you do. Like, it's not easy, and I hope I'm not saying too much, not easy to be successful at something like a coffee shop and then say, okay, the Lord is moving me on, picking up your eggs and putting them fully into another basket because you know the Lord has called you to start something else. How do you deal with that risk?
So specifically when we sold the coffee shop was just shy of its 3-year anniversary, which anyone who's in business knows it takes 3 to 5 years to build a business.
Especially food. Like,
oh, my goodness.
For people who don't know, 50% of restaurants and like coffee shops close within the first 12 months because it's so brutal.
It's really rough.
Yeah.
I honestly, I don't know that I'll ever work in the food industry again, but God bless everyone who loves it. Like, I have friends who they just live and breathe getting to do that every day. I'm like, it was a lot for me.
It's a grind.
The shop was worth it because of the people.
Yeah.
100% because of the people.
Yeah.
Which, I funny enough, I ended up building kind of like a framework of how I make decisions out of that. Most importantly, what is God calling me to do? But to add to that, like, which is, I guess, just like a quick... like a grid to reference against, like, what do I feel like God has gifted me in?
Right.
And I realized for me, there's four things. This is a side note, I apologize. But one, do I get to create something?
Yeah.
Two, do I get to be with people?
Yeah.
Three, do I get to make a difference? I guess it's really three. Three pieces. I don't know where the fourth one came from.
Yeah.
Number one would be, is the Holy Spirit in it? Number two is, do I get to create? Do I get to be with people? And do I get to make a difference? And if it doesn't fit in that framework, which I've done multiple things that didn't fully fit in that, and they were just miserable, and I knew I was out of place.
Yeah.
What was the original question? Because I just got distracted by that.
Oh, that's so good. Let me just unfold that a little bit. So your decision-making process is, does it honor the Lord?
This is brand new. This is like the last...
Sure.
In the new business that we have now,
I
realized all these things in the startup of the business.
Totally, but it's good. So I want to touch it a little bit. Does it honor the Lord? Does it honor people? And does it reflect what I know I'm called to do? Simple, but profound.
And I think those are slightly different for everyone. Like, not everyone cares about creating something new every day.
Right.
Because that's not their necessarily like their MO. They like to manage things or whatever.
But that speaks to dealing with risk.
Yes.
Right? Like,
100%.
How can I? Like, there's things you want to do, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Things I want to do. But how can I go confidently do those things whether it's risky or not, if I don't feel called to it by God, if it doesn't feed what I know God has given me to do, and if it doesn't bless the people it impacts. So that's a great way to discern risk.
I think, most importantly, is he in it? And then for me, you know, there's been seasons when I first started my businesses, like just early on in business, I had friends who went out and got jobs and made a lot more money than I did overnight, you know, and like there was a lot more obvious success. But for me, and I've always been wired this way, like I have to believe in what I do every day.
Right.
And it's just really hard for me when I don't. Usually when I'm really frustrated with things, it's because I'm like losing the like belief in what I'm doing in that moment. And sometimes that looks like great success. Sometimes, especially in entrepreneurial ventures, anyone will know this. Like there's times you push everything back into a business and money is tight and it's it can be stressful. And my wife is the queen of anytime I get stressed about like, oh man, we just invested everything in this and and whatever, and I'll start to stress about something, she's always like, yeah, but we're not our provider, God is.
Come on.
And so our thing in our house is like, we're going to work our butts off, and then ultimately we trust him. And so there's seasons, you know, as far as risk goes, there's seasons where like things don't look like they're going the way that you're like, God, this isn't what you told me to do. It doesn't look like I thought it would look. But it's what I want you to be doing right now. Sometimes that's bountiful. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes, you know, to be honest, sometimes when you choose to let something die, that's really his heart. And that one is really hard to learn. I'm like, shouldn't everything be a success? It's like, it was there when it was supposed to be there.
It's success, but success not defined by desire.
Well, even look at, I mean, at some point, Jesus called fishermen and they quit their jobs. Well, did I not fulfill my commitment? Well, this is where I need you now.
For those of you who are listening to this later, it's Palm Sunday in 2 days, and Jesus rode into Jerusalem not on a stallion or a steed, but on a donkey. And that was success.
100%.
And one of the most successful days on earth was the day that Jesus died on a cross. His homeboys were not happy about that.
Not at all. Didn't look good.
Things didn't look great.
No.
The stock tickers were not going up on that one.
Definitely not.
Ah, so good. Ah. Man, Chris, thank you so much. This was good. I felt like what the Lord wanted to accomplish through this was accomplished. I felt like there was some burden lifted. And that is so, so important because it gets hard. Life is hard. And you really should be passionate about what you're doing. And maybe not, you know, I love fun. I'm a fun lover, not a fun hater.
Not every day is fun, though.
But there should be something pushing you. And if you're operating in ungodly pressure, that's a bad place to be.
100%.
And if you're if you can't recognize what you're called to and what God is doing in you and how it's impacting the people or how it impacts the people that it touches, it's hard to do what you're called to do. So I really think this was a message of sonship today. That's what it felt like, a message of sonship. You've been you recognize your adoption into the kingdom of God and that Papa God, Daddy is actually guiding you and leading you so you can be secure in what you're doing. And I really think that's what the Lord did, is he just, and through this podcast, is that he's lifting some pressure off of people. So if you don't mind, would you just pray to close us out? Would you mind to pray?
Father, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. Lord, I pray that whatever testimony that I have, however small it may feel to me or however encouraging it may be to someone listening, Lord, I pray that you would just, Lord, you would inspire new ventures for one. Lord, I pray that you would just increase confidence and boldness with humility. God, because whether it's running companies, whether it's making decisions for our families. Lord, we need your voice.
Yes.
We need your heart.
Yes.
So, Lord, would you just continue to lead us and direct us? Lord, I thank you for provision. I thank you for inspiration. I thank you for creativity.
Yes.
Lord, would you just continue to grow in us the willingness to give it all for you?
Come on.
And for where you want us in every season. And be okay when the seasons change.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Chris, thank you so much. You are the man. I really feel like this was fruitful. Just real quick, and I know this is hard to do sometimes, but would you just like plug what you're doing right now and how people can get in contact with you and your business if they'd like to engage with you beyond the podcast?
Yeah, for sure. So the company that I have right now, and I'm really excited to be a part of, is Mill Brothers Sawmill. So you can look at millbrotherssawmill.com. We do like milling service for people. We are really getting into like custom live edge pieces that you can use for countertops or decoration. And then as far as music, you can look at chrisandjessicariley.com. And that's my wife and I. And we're about to launch a really cool ministry in our community. So more on that, we'll post there and on our social media.
All right. Amen. Thanks, Chris. Love you. Love all you listening. Thank you for joining us today. You can get more information at tentmakerspodcast.com or livingstonfirstchurch.com. Again, Tent Makers is a ministry of First Church, but we want to hear from you and help you and resource you. So we'd love for you to connect. And we pray that God would continue to lead you in everything he's called you to, and that there would be fruitfulness for his kingdom. Amen. Love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.